And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today Sports Ethos After Dark with your boys, with the OGs. He is Steve Alexander, Hall of Famer, a.k.a. Dr. A. He's been a fantasy writer for literally probably the last 85 years. I have been working in fantasy about as long. I am Rick Kamla, and we rock these Monday night, midnight gigs with you guys here. I'm the Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball Platform. We're back to work. It was election night. We will not be talking about reps and Dems. We're going to be talking about points and boards and assists, dimes, steals, and all of that. Please give us your questions. We want them. We will answer them throughout the show. And before we tip things off, I want to dive in and talk about a word from our great sponsor, Bet Online. They are the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch games as they happen. They have the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, college basketball, NHL, UFC, MMA. Remember, they had political props. They got it all covered, man. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. We begin our runs here. A little midnight madness ethos style with our magic man of the night. We have two games still going. Sac in Toronto. The Clippers have opened up a 14-point lead on Philadelphia here late third quarter. We'll keep our eye on these two late night games. But, Doc, get us tipped off here with your magic man of the night.
You know, it's interesting because I'm not a Cade Cunningham guy. And right before the show, I was like, I'm going Cade Cunningham. I feel like you are a Cade guy.
I'm a Cade Cunningham guy, definitely.
He had 20 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. Solid triple-double. They almost beat Charlotte, them being Detroit. But the reason I'm not a huge Cade guy is he doesn't get blocks. He doesn't get steals. He's not like a prolific three-point shooter. Tonight, he had zero threes, zero steals, and zero blocks. However, he only had two turnovers, racked up a triple-double, and he's having a great year. Cade Cunningham.
Doc, I love that. His fantasy gold has been adequate, I would say, Doc. I would call it adequate. 2.3 threes coming into tonight. 1.5 stocks, which is 0.9 blocks, 0.6 steals, which is weird. You would think that a small would have more steals than blocks. That's not how it goes. I absolutely positively demand 1.2 steals per game from Cade Cunningham. It's early. He's halfway there at 0.6. I need two steal games, three steal games. Cade Cunningham has talked about defense, going back to Oklahoma State, talked about it in the pre-draft process. I'm a defensive guy. I understand like steals are totally indicative of your defensive effort and efficiency and all that kind of stuff. But dang, 0.6 steals sucks. And that's awful. Okay. So give me some swipes, dive into some passing lanes, get some deflections, get some runouts. Okay. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I mean, asking DeAndre Ayton to block some shots, that is too much to ask, but getting some steals here from Cade. But look, man, you know I'm a big Cade. You know I'm a big Cade Cunningham guy. So I feel like we're nitpicking here a little bit.
Who is your magic man of the night?
My magic man of the night, Dr. A, is LeBron James. And LeBron is a guy that, as we talk about what's hot, what's different, what's unusual, that's a lot of what we attack on these shows. Okay, and we'll get to it as we start to dive into the games. But we can't forget the mainstays. All right, we can't forget the guys that do this all the time. And it's just absolutely amazing to me. All right, this is like, you know, a tip of the cap to LeBron James, man. He's in his 22nd season. It's the longest career in NBA history, tied with Vince Carter. He also played 22 years. LeBron will come back and play next year, and he'll have the record, longest NBA career. All right, usually guys like Duncan and Dirk and Garnett and Pearson, these guys, they start to fade 37 to 38 to 39, and they're gone, okay? The fact that LeBron James, at his age in his 22nd season, is still dialing up 39, 7, and 6, one steal and six threes in a blowout loss without Anthony Davis to the Memphis Grizzlies down there in Memphis, okay? Playing in the fourth quarter. I don't know why. They're down 18 or whatever, but he's out there giving his stats, okay? Like, thank you for the fantasy goodies all of these years, and thank you once more. I mean, Doc, he helped me win the title in the Cam Dynasty, man. I drafted him. It's a Dynasty League, all right? I'm drafting LeBron James at like 38 years old. What am I doing? Well, I bet that LeBron James wasn't going to retire in a year. I thought he was going to play several more years a la Tom Brady. So far, so good. So that's my magic man of the night, Doc. Now, let's get to Wednesday night slate, and let's just take it in chronological order here. Detroit and Charlotte, all right? Shout out to Brandon Miller. Game-winning putback, he had 19-6-4. And as we said, when Brandon Miller comes back, Trey Mann is going to become probably a waiver wire guy. He's averaging 18 right now. He had four tonight. He's got 24 in the last three, which is eight a game, okay? So if you want to hang on to Trey Mann, go for it. But I'd go get a Bub Carrington, some of the guys we're going to talk about here on the show. Trey Mann has become waiver wireable for me. And then we have the Jalen Duren injury, Doc, and I don't know what we can really say about this other than he's got a left ankle, did not return to the game tonight, twisted it in the first quarter, able to play on it a little bit, but then left ultimately. And Isaiah Stewart played kind of well. Paul Reed played kind of well. I'm kind of over Isaiah Stewart. Paul Reed may be a guy you want to look at here, but maybe it's Stewart because of the money, but those are my vibes here on Charlotte and Detroit. How about you?
Well, Stewart got 26 minutes. Jalen Duren only played 8 minutes because he got hurt. Eight. Stewart got 26, and Reed got 12. And I don't really care about the stats. At that point, I want the guy who's going to be playing minutes, which for me, that's beef stew. I get why you don't like him. I'm cool with it.
It's not that I don't like him. I'm just kind of over it. We were waiting on the development stuff, and I just kind of think he is who he is. He's a bench player in the NBA too.
I'm also with you on Trey Mann. Like, he was fun for a minute. Time to move on. There's too many good players on waivers right now to be waiting for Trey Mann. And then it wasn't a huge game, but I feel like we finally got the real Miles Bridges tonight.
He had a great game.
27-7.
And so did Ball. Brandon Miller was kind of like the, you know, the third option, which is where he lives and where he's going to live. But he was heroic tonight. They had a sweet half-court alley-oop from LaMelo Ball to Brandon Miller. And just wanted to bring that up with Trey Mann, because we talk about guys you're going to pick up all the time and stuff, and we're going to do that throughout this show, but you need to know a guy or two that you can drop, and right now that's Trey Mann. We love Trey Mann, but the minutes just aren't there for him right now. Orlando at Indiana. This was not a real admirable fantasy game, okay? Not a lot of takeaways and stuff. So to me, the Aaron Nesmith injury for Indiana has opened the door in a couple of ways here. Ben Mathurin starting, had a big game tonight, 20-11. And in the starting lineup, Mathurin will be more consistent. We know that he's the stock market, okay, in a rocky stock market. I mean, it's 20 and it's 18 and it's 5 and it's 5 and then it's back up to 20, okay? It's a bumpy ride. But in the starting lineup, that will help him be more consistent. And, of course, he plays next to the worst stat man in the NBA, a man named Andrew Nebhard, who played 31 minutes tonight, had 5, 2, and 5. Like, the guy's the no-stack guy. It's unbelievable, this
Eric
guy.
Eric Snow. Good call. Revisited.
Good call. That's a perfect call. Eric Snow would play. And I worked with him on NBA minutes. TV. I like Eric Snow. I'm still buddies with him. But he'd play a lot of minutes and wouldn't put up very many stats. Give the people the Eric Snow stat line, Doc.
4 points, 2 assists. 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 36 minutes every single day in the starting lineup.
In the starting lineup with AI at the two there in Philadelphia, and he played in a variety of stops. But Doc, Jairus Walker, okay, hurled a perfect game tonight. 7 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 3 from three. Didn't sully it with a missed free throw. Didn't even take one. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 1 block, 2 steals, 23 minutes. So this is a non-Nesmith thing, all right? He rose in terms of minutes. This is the best game he's ever had in the NBA, all right? And I liked him in the pre-draft process coming out of Houston. Highly drafted by this team. Didn't play at all last year. And now, boom, he pops with a perfect game with some defensive goodies and three threes, okay? And so he's a very versatile player. Very versatile player. We are going to love Jairus Walker, Doc, I think. Like, this isn't going to happen. Like, I don't think he's a pickup right now. I think he's a monitor guy because Carlisle just doesn't play him, okay? And Nesmith might return for the next game. So I'm not, like, geeked about Jairus Walker, but we got to talk about it, okay? Because I believe he will be a fantasy goody guy when he gets the minutes. He's just that kind of guy. He's a noisy player. He's a stat. He's a box score type of player.
You talk about pop. We've heard about Jairus Wallace's pop for like, or Jairus Walker, heard about his pop for like 2 years. We still haven't really seen it. Tonight's the first look we get. I think we're a year away, but I do like him. I think you're right. He's going to be good.
Getting the Toronto and Sacramento game right now. Sacramento's up 11, 5 minutes to go. It is a runaway here for Philadelphia. Pardon me, the Clippers over the Sixers in Paul George's first return. We'll get to that game and some of the fantasy spins on that as we move along here. It is the Fantasy NBA today. Rick Kamla and Steve Alexander, FSWA Hall of Famer, Dr. A. We are Sports Ethos After Dark here and hanging out with you all. New York and Atlanta, all right? I really enjoyed this game. I had the New York feed with Kenny Albert. Mike Breen was doing ESPN stuff tonight, and, of course, Walt Clyde Frazier. Kenny Albert, you know, on the NBA is pretty cool. I don't know. I like him on the NFL as well. I'm a fan. And so I had fun with the broadcast. There was a great vibe at State Farm Arena. It's Trae Young against the Knicks. It's a bunch of New Yorkers who live in Atlanta who go to the game and buy up a bunch of tickets. I've been to those games. They're very, very fun and very spirited, okay? And so it was fun to plug into this game. And Zachary Sache took it over. He had 33 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 3 steals. Ooh la la. He had 6 3-balls in this game. So, Doc, a few takeaways here on Zachary Sache. I'll tee you up and you can take this game wherever you want to go. Zachary Sache tonight just made the Hawks sexy, okay? Because we love Jalen Johnson and Trey, but they just weren't sexy to me. All right, first overall pick in the draft, Rhys Sache just popped with a Hall of Fame stat line. They're sexy now, okay? Rhys Sache just planted DeAndre Hunter's butt on the bench when he comes back. He'll play, but if they go back and start DeAndre Hunter over Zachary Sache, I'm going to mount a vehement protest, all right? Rhys Sache just took the lead for Rookie of the Year, probably over Zach Edey. And like with a game like this, and if he can continue to rip off some fantasy games, he's going to run away with Rookie of the Year, especially if the Hawks are relevant and winning some games and stuff, because Sarr's doing some stuff that we like. But I think Rhys Sache's got more upside. And Zach Edey's had a couple of pop games recently, but overall the body work's been all right. Rhys Sache. Also, I want to just give a tip of the cap to everybody that drafted him. Great job rolling the dice on an upside guy, okay? Because it's really worked out for you with all the injuries in Atlanta right now. And the way Rhys Sache is playing, he, I think, now is putting his flag into that rotation. And he has forced Quinn Snyder to play him, man. So take it anywhere you want to go here, Doc.
Well, he landed on the right team. I mean, that team needs a guy like Zach. Right now, DeAndre Hunter is not the answer. I'm with you. If we don't start Rhys Sache going forward, something is broken. Now, you're like, oh, everybody loves Jalen Johnson. Dude, you just glossed over his 23 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, a block, and 3 triples. Oh, everybody loves Trae Young. 23 points, 6 boards, 10 dimes, 2 steals, 3 threes. Like, if the Hawks could ever put it all together, they'd be so fun. Dyson Daniels, 6 points. Trash, right? 4 steals, a block, 3 of 16. He shot it 16 times. This team, they're so hard to watch. I love Bob Rathman. I love Dominique. I love watching those guys. This team's so hard to watch. And then friggin' Clint Capella doesn't miss a shot tonight. So our guy, our fantasy darling, Okongwu, down there on the bench, only playing 20 minutes, 1 of 6 shooting.
I mean, I've Capella on my most coveted team of all in the Cam Dynasty, so I'm not I like to see Clint Capella doing his thing. And Capella had 2 big free throws late in this game. Also caught a lob from Trae Young at a key moment as Atlanta was separating from New York in clutch time. Sacramento's got a 15-point lead on Toronto. So many dud games tonight. I mean, we got you with the fantasy goodies here, but a lot of uncompetitive games tonight. Sacramento's running away and hiding here. Keon Ellis and R.J. Barrett just got kind of in each other's faces a minute ago, which I always like the spicy stuff. So shout out to them for that. Now, Doc, let's go to Boston TD Garden here on Fantasy NBA today on Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball Platform. Dr. Ray, Rick Hamla, at your service. Get your questions. We'll answer them throughout the show. And thank you for staying up late with us. Golden State at Boston. Golden State wins again. Okay. This team. Are they for real? Like, I need to see more, but I mean, they look great. They're 7-1. Their depth is outstanding, and it's annoying in terms of Steve Kerr's rotation and playing guys 13 minutes and 18 minutes and all this kind of stuff, but it's working. They're winning, okay? So you got to give them credit. Stephen Curry and Buddy Hield, who has been a league winner type of guy, if he can keep this up, at well over 20 points, at 5 threes a game, like, what? Buddy Hield's doing nutty stuff. Hit the dagger tonight. Steph and Buddy are the new Splash Brothers. They combined for 8 threes tonight. But, Doc, let's get to the fantasy brass tacks. His name is Nemish Keita, all right? He started at center tonight for the Boston Celtics. He had 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, okay? 14-8-2, 28 minutes, started. And this has been brewing. He's had 10-plus points, Doc, in 3 of the last 4 games. You listen to Scal, Brian Scalabrine, and Drew Carter on the Boston broadcast. They're raving about Nemish Keita, okay? It's like a love fest going on right now. And he started tonight, Doc, and played very, very well against Looney and Green and Trayce Jackson-Davis and all these guys. So is he a must-add? Because I'm looking at him. I don't look at him as a must-add. He's a monitor guy for me. Is he a must-add for you?
No, but he's like, I have way too many centers. Like, my fantasy team should just be called Centers Are Us, because there were so many old good ones left, like Al Horford. At the end of my drafts, just kept drafting them. The fact that Keita started next to Al Horford is very encouraging. Now, the reason he started in general is because Jaylen Brown was out. So when Jaylen Brown comes back, Katie's coming off the bench. But Horford and Luke Kornet, outside of Keita, are the only centers that this team has. And Horford's not going to play every day. Horford is going to start getting time off. Kornet is not very good. So I'm with you, dude. I'm not picking Kate up right now, but, I mean, he's on my watch list big time.
He's very athletic, guys. Really gets off the floor. He's a 2024 big. He's a roller, a rim runner, a lob threat, a shot blocker, like Yves Mesi in New Orleans. He's that type of guy. And they always fire people up, all right? You know, they bring the energy. They get off the floor. They make noisy plays. I would love to see Jalen Duren do that. I would love to see DeAndre Ayton do that, but they don't want to do that. All right, let's move on here. Fantasy NBA today. Dr. A with Rick Hamla here. At your service, man. Spurs at Rockets. And this is a geeky game for me. I'm a Wemby guy. I'm a Rockets guy. And it was a complete dud. 27-point win for Houston tonight. This game didn't seem like it was ever competitive. Fred VanVleet had his best game of the year, right? Not a fantasy take, just acknowledging the game. And it was needed. Fred VanVleet's not been great this year. He had 21, 7, and 10. Two steals, 10 of 11 shooting from the usually inefficient Fred VanVleet. And Doc, there wasn't a whole lot fantasy-wise to talk about from this game, so I don't want to belabor the point. I just want to shout out my Rockets, okay? You know that I'm into them. They're my little team that could. I've got them under my arm this year, and they've won four of the last five. They're 5-3, and here they freaking come.
Yeah. I like them. I don't know how many games they're going to win or how long they'll keep it going. The only thing I want to say about this game really is Jeremy Sochan is out, and he's out for a while. He's having surgery. Julian Champagny, 13 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 3 threes. That guy's going to be balling out. I think he's a great pickup right now.
I agree. I agree with you, Doc. I do. Champagny, let me write him down here. And we've talked about him before. Hot start, then a lull, picked it back up. Harry Barnes barely played tonight. I think he had 18 minutes or something like that. Still waiting on Keldon Johnson to kind of to get the gears rolling here. You know, sometimes guys get off to a slow start. Wemby had a very quiet game tonight. It was just a dud on the San Antonio side and a flex job by the Rockets, who are really feeling themselves right now. Tari Eason had another really productive game off the bench. Let's go to LAL and Memphis. That would be the Lakers and the Grizzlies. I talked about LeBron James' nearly 40-point game tonight. And Anthony Davis missed the game. I'll just tell you this. Left heel contusion. Rui Hachimura missed the game with an illness. To me, that was J.J. Redick saying, all right, guys, you've been grinding. Last game of, I believe it was a 5-game road trip for L.A., okay? And so, you know, last game of a road trip, a lot of times they'll just hold a guy out. Let's just get back home and circle the wagons. I'm not worried about Davis, all right? If Davis misses his next game with a heel injury, now we worry, okay? But I'm not there yet because circumstantially, last game of a road trip, you want to get your guy off his feet for a minute. They have a bunch of guys sick on the team. LeBron was sick. Rui's sick. Davis, frankly, didn't look healthy just facially, okay? So they got a lot going on. I'm not tripping on that yet. But the question is here, Doc, Jalen Wells, all right? A starting wing now for Memphis with the injuries that they have to Smart and Bane. 20 points with 5 threes. Over the last 4 games, his point flow has gone 26, 15, 16. So 15 plus 3 of the last 4. Last 4 in minutes, 28, 33, 36, 36. All right? This is pretty decent production right here. Is Jalen Wells a thing for you?
It's interesting. I'd use him in DFS, but Desmond Bane, I don't think is going to be out forever. Like, Desmond Bane is coming back. And when Desmond Bane comes back, Wells is toast. As far as Anthony Davis goes, I'm not very worried. I was kind of excited to have Dalton connect in the starting lineup tonight, but 1 of 7 didn't do anything. When is Desmond Bane coming back?
I don't know right now, Doc. It's okay. It's an indefinite thing. And you know these injuries, man. Like it. So when it goes beyond, you know, 2 games. All right, 1 game he comes back. You know, who cares? 1 plus 1 is 2, and then okay, I don't know. Like and sometimes they put a tag on it. Sometimes it's day to day, week to week. So I'm not sure on that, but. I am sure about this, Doc. The best team in the NBA right now, it's not the Boston Celtics. It's not the Oklahoma City Thunder, who took their first L tonight to Denver, and we'll talk about that game in a minute. It is the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 9-0, okay? They're 5-0 on the road. This is weird. They're one of 2 teams in the Eastern Conference that's above 500. There's a ton of 4-4, 3-4, 3-6, 2-5, a lot of that in the East right now. The East is not good. The West is clobbering the East, okay? And so there's not a lot of fantasy takeaways from this game for me, Doc. Jose Alvarado had a huge game. I think you're going to want to talk about that. I just wrote the waiver wire piece for Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball. Jose was in there. Brandon Boston was in there as well. Boston had a pretty good game tonight. 14 points, 5 assists, had a block, had 2 threes, started over Jordan Hawkins. Willie Green, don't do this to me, bro. Don't do this to me. Jordan Hawkins has had a little bit of an injury, so maybe a minutes restriction. I hope that's what's going on. But if you are all of a sudden starting Brandon Boston over a healthy Jordan Hawkins, I have huge problems with that, okay? But I want to circle back to Cleveland for a minute here, Doc, and you can take it where you want to go.
Hey, I cut Jordan Hawkins yesterday to pick up Brandon Boston.
Okay, then I'll get back to Kenny Atkinson here in a minute. So you tell me why you made that move, and do you think you're going to circle back to Hawkins here, or do you think they like Boston more than Hawkins? Talk to me.
Well, I was on this podcast on Monday night at midnight with a guy named Rick Kamla, and he was like, I got people on the ground in New Orleans, and they love Brandon Boston so much. In fact, Zion played with him as a youngster, and Zion calls him what?
I'm not sure that Zion played with him, might have played against him, but was familiar with his high school work and calls him a certified bucket.
Certified bucket. That's why I made that move, son.
Okay. I like it. I like it a lot.
You sold. If you could sell that, you can sell anything, bro.
Well, I'm gonna be selling cars here pretty soon. so wish me luck with that sales piece. All right, so Kenny Atkinson here. Let me do another sales job on you here. All right, let me talk about Kenny Atkinson. All right, for Coach of the Year. These odds are as of about a week ago. I tried to get into DraftKings and I couldn't. They had it just there was a whole like sign in deal. I couldn't get in. So I had to do a general Google search on NBA award odds, which is a little weird, but it's the best we got right now. Kenny Atkinson is at a plus 375. He's easily number one. This was as of about a week ago, all right? Joe Mazzulla next at a plus 600. Mike Budenholzer at a plus 600. Mazzulla's not going to win this award, okay? He's not. I guarantee you that. Mike Budenholzer with that Phoenix team at 7-1, okay, he looms large here. J.J. Redick. Was a plus 800. The Lakers are now 4-4, but he's still in this thing. Like, if Steve Kerr wins 53 games with this team, he's a Coach of the Year candidate. He's at a plus 1600, and then on and on and on. But back to Kenny Atkinson here. He is becoming pretty chalky for Coach of the Year. But, Doc, if the odds are still plus 375, that is super bangable, okay? That's not flat money. That's not minus 150 where you've got to outlay more to win money back because it's such a prohibitive bet. It's still plus 375, which speaks to a mysterious aspect. And to me, Kenny Atkinson and Mike Budenholzer are in a two-horse race right now for Coach of the Year. We're beyond early, long way to go, but that's where it's at right now. And as we look at the futures market a little bit here, which I like to do, I think Kenny Atkinson at plus 375 is an outstanding way to bet $100 with a chance to almost quadruple your money.
I mean, they're 9-0. How many NBA teams have ever started off 9-0? Like, you're already 10 games ahead of the curve. I love it. I think it's a great bet.
And here's one more thing on this. Everybody, I mean, everybody loves Kenny Atkinson. He's an awesome guy. He's very gregarious, very warm and friendly and welcoming. The media freaking loves Kenny Atkinson, okay? His players love him. His fellow coaches love him, okay? He's a lovable guy. And that helps, okay? That could lead to some votes that maybe – and it's not that Coach Bud's not likable. It's just that Kenny – and I know Coach Bud well, interviewed him – gosh, 50 times in Atlanta, face-to-face, okay? Hung out with him, talked Dodgers baseball with him, okay? He's a great dude. But Kenny Atkinson, I think, is known as more of a grab-the-room guy than Coach Bud, who he's from the pop tree. He can get a little prickly at times. But I said that very, very affectionately. All right. It is Fantasy NBA today. Rick Kamla and Steve Alexander. He is a Hall of Famer. Bulls at Dallas. I don't want to talk too much about this, Doc. I just want to tell you this. Hello, Matas Bezulis. And I do not want you to go out there and pick him up right now. Okay? Just shouting out the young fella. I like him a lot, Doc. I can't believe he fell to like 11, I think it was, in the draft to Chicago. I had him as a top five pick. Should have been taking over Ron Holland, and who's good. Okay, I like Ron Holland, but should have been taking over him and taking over, to me, well, Klingon's tough. I do like Klingon shot blocking. Bottom line, Bezulis top five talent in this draft. Tonight, 13-9, one block, two steals, three threes. It's just a hello. It's not a, hey, pick me up, Doc. It's just a hello, okay? Think about this. It's in terms of the maybe the one-night stand vernacular. You're not going home with her tonight, okay? But you planted a seed tonight, okay? Maybe you got a phone number for next time. That's what we got here tonight from Matas Bezulis.
Yeah, I mean, he was solid. Like, keep an eye on him. It could be interesting. What a disaster. What a disaster that Bulls box score is. It's horrible. It's horrific. And then
Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu, right? Like maybe some geekdom with Zach out. They were pitiful tonight.
I was excited about Ayo. I thought Ayo was going to be good. It was so bad. And then my Locktober special for November, I think, was Najee Marshall. I think he had 8 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals in the first half. And he did not do one other thing that entire game. So I'm sad.
He did not, dude. All right, Doc. So we cruised through the games. And by the way, just a little program reminder, okay? If you're tuning in and, hey, this is kind of fun. We are on, guys. At midnight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're welcome, okay? So we're on the first 4 nights of the week, you know, weeknights. And obviously, you know, in the Central Time Zone, we're going to be on at 11, all right? In the Mountain Time Zone, we're going to be on at 10. In the Pacific Time Zone, we're going to be on at 9. And so hopefully around the country, you guys are all checking us out. Heck, around the world, hope you guys are checking us out. But we love having you with us. Just wanted to let you know, this is a Monday through Thursday engagement here. On Fantasy NBA today, Ethos After Dark. Huge game, Doc. Denver and Oklahoma City with fantasy ramifications, reality ramifications. Oklahoma City got their first loss of the year after coming in at 7-0. And Denver, Doc, got their best win of the year. And it was, it's like Denver restored order a little bit. I've not been high or excited about this team. Because of the KCP departure, they're now 5-3. They've won 3 in a row. Okay. So they're galvanizing here a little bit. Let's go back and forth on this one, Doc. We can spend a little bit more time on this one. I want to start with the young fellas. I want to start with the young fellas for Denver. They finished tonight with Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. And I'm not glossing over anything, Doc. I'm just getting to what's different here. All right. They finished tonight, Denver did, with those two guys. And Christian Brown and Peyton Watson and Julian Strother. All right, the three young fellas that they need desperately to spike and to play well because that is the bet that Calvin Booth is making right here, saying goodbye to Jeff Green, Bruce Brown, Reggie Jackson, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They have to have these three guys play well. It's mandatory, all right? All three of these guys played very, very well tonight. Peyton Watson touched every category in the box score. Christian Brown had a plus 20 game tonight, and he's been absolutely fantastic. And Julian Strother didn't have a great stat line, but he had a big follow flush and then a big defensive play late in that game. Peyton Watson missed 2 free throws to ice the game, left the door open for SGA and OKC, and then stymied with a block SGA at the end of the game to win. Okay, a game-winning block by Peyton Watson. And Christian Brown had 2 clutch buckets. At like the 3-minute mark or something like that. So, Doc, shout out to the young fellas. Putting the box score in a good way, the eye test in a good way. They were literally the end of the game was not the Jokic show. It wasn't. It was the young guy show. And I was very impressed, Doc. And this is exactly what Denver needs. And if these guys can play like this, on the majority of nights, then Denver is not going to slide into the play-in tournament. They will remain a top six team and a vibrant contender.
Not to rain on your parade, but Nikola Jokic had 23 points, 20 rebounds, 16 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a 3-pointer. I'm just saying that in case you're at home and haven't pulled up the box score yet. Dude, I am super intrigued by Peyton Watson. And with Aaron Gordon now hurt, and Michael Porter Jr. always on the verge of being hurt, Peyton Watson is up there near the top of my watch list. Not really Julian Strother. I drafted Christian Brown everywhere, but Peyton Watson is a guy I'm really watching close.
So far, Champagne, Jalen Wells, Nemi Ishketa, Isaiah Stewart, Peyton Watson, in terms of the guys you need to be looking at as pickups tonight, okay, off the waiver wire. And as we finish the games, then we'll sort this out and rank
also,
it. Also, calibrate a little bit more for you.
If Giannis doesn't play, you put Bobby Portis in your lineup wherever possible. If Jamal Murray doesn't play, you put Russell Westbrook in your lineup wherever possible.
Russell Westbrook. I saw a tweet.
That's a big game, dude.
I saw a tweet a couple of weeks ago, Doc. It was one of the aggregators on Twitter, and they were putting out a quote from some anonymous scout somewhere in asshat NBA bill. And this guy was like, he's the worst player in the NBA. He shouldn't be in the NBA. He's a liability and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Ever since that tweet, Russell Westbrook has been having games. Not every game, right? When you're off the bench, a little inconsistent. Last two games, okay, without Jamal Murray. Tonight, 29, 6, and 6, one steal. The game before, 21, 6, and 6, one block, one steal. The guy can still play. And
on the final, he had 10 of 15 shots. That's amazing.
Yes, it is, man. Yes, it is. So the guy can still play. I think he's well more valuable than a veteran minimum guy. If I were a GM in the NBA, I would pay him to be my starting point guard, depending on who I had, and understand what I'm saying here. Like, if I were the Spurs, I might have gone harder for Russell Westbrook than I did for Chris Paul. And just giving Russell Westbrook the money I gave to Chris Paul, because Russ is bringing more to the wood than Chris Paul is right now. So just a little love fest here with Russell Westbrook. And Murray's got a concussion. He'll be back soon, we think. And so this is going to be short-lived. But just a reminder that all-time greats, and I've said this for years, and this is football, baseball, basketball, I dabble in hockey, but those first three sports are my main sports. It doesn't matter. Remember, Albert Pujols went out with that huge home run flurry at the end. When you are – Larry Fitzgerald had big games all the way up until the end. When you are one of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time, you don't go out with a whimper. You go out with a bang. LeBron James is proving that right now. And Russell Westbrook is in that vein of player. He is going to be putting up fat stat lines until he retires. I promise you, okay? And you're sir, what if he plays until he's 40? He's still going to be giving you 10, 5, and 5, okay? That's just his game. All right, so let's move on here, Doc. Miami and Phoenix. Yusuf freaking Nurkic, okay? Like, out of nowhere, came in averaging 9-9. We just talked last week that he's waiverable. He's been so mediocre, 9-9 with a block. I mean, that's waiver wire stuff. Okay. He's got a bigger name than that, bigger brand name than that tonight, 20-18. So Bam Adebayo, what's up, dude? And I know maybe you want to talk more about that, Doc. On the Suns. Okay. Who won the game? They're 7-1. 7-1. All right. They're for real, Doc. And I'll tell you why they're for real. I heard Kevin Durant talk in the preseason, and sometimes it's just fodder and sometimes it matters. And Kevin Durant was making an analogy with Kay Adams on whatever show she does. And he compared the Suns to the Chiefs. And I was like, boy, that's bold and a leap of faith. And but he said, just like them, we have a championship or bust mindset or whatever he said. I was like, they're taking this championship thing seriously down there. Durant is taught, because the Kay Adams thing with him, it's fun, it's ha-ha and stuff, but that's some serious stuff. All right. So, Doc, he's rolling 30-plus in four of his last six. But that vibe, Booker's a super competitive guy. I think Beal has plugged into that. He's been playing through the right elbow. You've got a deep team there in Phoenix. So I like that championship. Coach Bud is there. He's won a ring, okay? He knows how to win big. He's won 60 games before. But, Doc, the difference here is Tyus Jones. And even tonight when he has like a where the hell was that stat line, right? Like he did nothing tonight virtually, it seemed. But he stabilizes it, and he makes all the pieces fit. And he's on a veteran minimum contract, but I thought it was one of the biggest gets of the offseason because last year they didn't have a point guard. It didn't fit. They lost in the first round, and now they have a point guard, Doc. And I think it does fit now. And now Grayson Allen's off the bench making your team just ridiculously deep. And so I'm into it, dude. I'm believing in the Phoenix Suns. So launch off there anywhere you want to go with this game.
Oh, we don't rehearse the show, but I set you up perfectly for your Russell Westbrook rant. And I'm all about Tyus Jones, dude. I love Tyus Jones. And the whole time you were talking, I was like, man, when he comes to me, I'm going to talk about Tyus Jones holding this whole thing together. And that's what it is. Not to mention KD. We talk about, Anthony Davis looks like an MVP candidate. Oh, this guy's got his game face today. KD is not playing.
He's not. It's like, there's just a different vibe in Phoenix this year. And I already made that point, but there's just
this. Shout out Eric Seitz.
Yeah, our buddy. You're like, who is Eric Seitz? He is a non-industry guy. He's a business owner down in Phoenix.
He's our guy. He's a
frat brother of mine, Sigma Nu Fraternity, University of Minnesota, back in the late 80s, early 90s. But he's a great fantasy player, an outstanding fantasy player. He could definitely come on here and talk with us and write articles like he's that good. But he prints money as a convenience store owner down in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. And so, all right, Doc, let's move on here. A couple more games to talk about. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Clippers. This one went to the home team, and the Philadelphia 76ers, Doc, dropped to 1-6. The Clippers moved to 4-4. And Paul George, 18 points, 3 steals, 7 of 9 from the floor, but only played 24 minutes. He was in foul trouble tonight. And so it's always something with Paul George, right? It can't just be a game. It's got to be either a dud or foul trouble or something.
No, he played good. He played well. He's still on a minutes thing. Like, welcome back, PG. Of course, I say that because I have him on two teams.
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't have any shares of Paul George. But the Clippers win this game. Your guy Norman Powell, Doc, did it. Again, 26 points, 6 assists, 6 bombs, 8 of 10 from the foot. Your boy had 26 points on 10 freaking shots. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me?
You're like, what's the average? Like 2-3 something? No, it's like 4-5. Like, he's just hitting bombs. Norm Powell, like, dude, he is a player. You talk about competitive. And somebody who just sits back and takes it in, it's like, I'm going to come out here, beat your ass. That is Norm Powell.
He's a champion, man. He averaged 16 on that Toronto team. 16. He was a major player on that team. That team was a freaking crew, man. Kawhi and Gasol and Siakam and Van Vliet and Lowry. I mean, that was a freaking squad, man. They did need a little bit of help. Snap, crackle, pop with Clay and Durant, but they got it done, and good for them back in 2019.
What is happening to the 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks? I mean, two completely different situations. But these are the two teams that are supposed to be taking on the Celtics and helping everybody else out. And they're just, they suck.
The Milwaukee thing is they're missing Middleton. Trent has been okay. Torian Prince is playing 30 minutes a game and taking 10 shots a game. That's not advantageous. Milwaukee is a top-heavy team that falls off the table, and then they have nothing. They have no reinforcements. And so the main dudes have to be stellar every night. But there's something funky in Milwaukee, Doc. There's that, everything I said. But then there's something intangible, something hard to quantify, something cryptic and mysterious that I don't have my finger on right now, but I know it's there.
Not even mention.
I just don't like how Rivers. It smells in Milwaukee right now, Doc.
Doc Rivers.
Got a weird odor to me.
It does. Doc Rivers is there as well. What a mess. And then Philly, I don't even know, man. I don't know what to say.
I mean, when you don't have your best player and your second best player, well, I don't know. Nah, I think Max is your second best player. And when your third best player is out, you know, when they play 6 or 7 games without Embiid and George, I mean, you're screwed. So no, I'm not tripping on Philly. Like if and when Embiid. But Doc, overall, I'm baiting Philly.
Embiid's only going to play like 32 games this year.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, overall, I'm not excited about Philly at all. I'm just saying, like, they have more built-in excuses and rationales and justifications than Milwaukee does. And I know that they've been missing Chris Middleton. I totally get that. But they've won without him before. And this year, it's like they're cratering. It's really weird, man. And I'm a Doc Rivers guy and an apologist. And I think he's a great dude and a fantastic coach. And people bang on him too much. But, Doc, he has not done a good job in Milwaukee. He is way under 500 when you combine the regular and postseason. And frankly, the move from Adrian Griffin to Doc Rivers has been a total disaster.
Perfect. I did not know you were a Doc Rivers apologist.
I am. I'm a Tony Romo hater, very, very infamously. And I'm a Doc Rivers apologist.
All right.
Very, very infamously. Don't get me started on Tony Romo. Don't get me started. All right, one more game, Doc. Toronto and Sacramento. Hey, the DeMar DeRozan ball playing against his former team. Sacramento all of a sudden is up to 5-3, getting rich off the fat of the land. DeMontis Sabonis had a trip dub tonight. It was like a Jason Kidd triple-double, 17, 11, and 13. He had a perfect game too. It was not a Jokic triple double, but Doc, I mean, it's about DeRozan, man. He had 27 more points tonight. He had a couple of threes. He had a steal. Thank you for the fantasy gold, DeMar DeRozan. And I mean, what can you say? It's a lot of static stuff. Okay. Fox had a good game. Murray had a good game. Herter was pretty effective in his minutes. And then, you know, you had Monk and Keon Ellis off the bench. This is all pretty standard stuff right here for Sacramento. So not any real takeaway here for me, Doc, just a shout out to DeMar DeRozan, man, blitzing his former team and continuing what's been an outstanding year so far for Sac.
Well, I will say this. We were all wondering, like, all summer, how are Sabonis, DeRozan, Murray, and Fox all going to, like, live under the same roof and eat together. And I think Malik Monk has been the guy that's taken the hit. Like, if I had a bunch of Malik Monk on my teams, I'd be pretty bummed out right now. And shout out to Keegan Murray. Like, he's been awesome. He's played pretty well almost every night. And I think a big reason that the Kings are 5-3 is because not only have they let DeRozan fit in perfectly and seamlessly, but Keegan Murray's playing really well.
Keegan Murray! I'm a fan, a big fan of Keegan Murray. I said in his rookie year, Doc, this is before, you know, he was setting records for three balls in a game and all that kind of stuff. I know Clay has the overall record at 14, but But Keegan Murray made his own history. Doc, he is fun to watch shoot the ball. Like not like Steph Curry fun to watch to shoot the ball or Klay Thompson, but he's not far off from that. Like, and it's just, it's not like, oh, the stats and the results. It's literally the shot. It's the way he gets it up in the gooseneck. It's just like, it's a thing of beauty. And for us basketball nerds that you know, sometimes can take our analysis out to the mechanics of the game, his mechanics are absolutely flawless. And it gets me excited about the game of basketball. All right, Doc, give me, I've been, you know, as we do this, I write down the guys that would be waiver wireable for the people. And then we revisit it. Okay. We talked about Julian Champagne. We talked about Jalen Wells of Memphis. We talked about Nimi Ishketa of Boston. We talked about Isaiah Stewart of Detroit. And we talked about Peyton Watson of Denver. Champagne, Wells, Keita, Beef Stew, or Peyton Watson. Give me the one and the two out of those five.
Champagne and Watson. Those are my guys.
I would go Peyton Watson's number one for me. And then there's maybe a drop off here. I would say the Champagne thing, Doc.
Dude, I feel like it's coming. I just do.
I don't know. And like, Pop plays so many guys, and Memphis is shorthanded. I put Wells at number two because I don't trust that Kate is going to, like, you know, Jalen Brown, you know, hopefully he comes back the next game and then Kate goes back to the bench. So, but Wells to me has a nice little runway here, I think. And Peyton Watson with the Griffin and, pardon me, the Gordon injury news, which is terrible. I love Aaron Gordon, but he's got a nice runway here. So I'd go Watson and I would go Wells. Doc would go, did you go Watson and then Champagne?
Champagne and then Watson.
All right. So you have Watson two, I have Watson one, but we had two different dudes. So for your takeaway, people, Peyton Watson's the pickup of the night, the must add of the night here. It is Fantasy NBA today. Rick Kamla and Steve Alexander here on Sports Ethos After Dark. Join us on Discord and the link on the description of the show on Twitter. And you will see it out there. And so we've had a blast here, man. Shout out to our great producer, Andre Lamouche. Shout out to all of you for staying up late with us. I do want to welcome you to read my waiver wire article on the Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball platform and website. Read Doc stuff out there. And tune in tomorrow night, guys. We'll be back midnight. It's a light slate, but we'll talk about whatever is fantasy relevant, any big news in the NBA. Maybe we'll cook up a segment for you. And, of course, we'll look ahead to Friday's work as well because we're not on Friday night. So maybe we'll get into some betting advice for Friday night's slate. So for Doc, I am Cam. We are out. Just want to tell you before we get out of here, Fantasy NBA Today is brought to you proudly and presented proudly by Bet Online. See y'all.